Our thought this morning, we would like to direct our attention to the cup of the Lord. This song bears a testimony of the Gethsemane scene. And I believe that you and I can, even any time, it doesn't have to be close to Easter for us to think about what Christ did for you and me. But if you'll turn with me to Matthew, the 26th chapter, I want to read verses 36 through 46. The time was just before his arrest when he was tried and went to the cross. Desire your prayers that the Lord will help us to be able to put the thoughts out that the Lord has laid on our heart. Verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, take it and eat. This is my body. I'm sorry, I need to be down at 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and he saith unto Peter, watch, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again, and the second time prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and he saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. I'm not sure what length of time it was from the point that he told them to sleep on. Maybe he had a little bit more time. There was a space, possibly, between that verse and the next verse, when no doubt he heard the commotion, the noise of those that were coming to arrest him. And that's when he said, now it's time for you to get up. They're here. The time is at hand. If you'll turn with me over to John, the 18th chapter, I want to read another portion that goes with this. This was a very serious scene when Jesus was struggling. We remember other descriptions that speaks about the sweat running down as drops of blood. He was agonizing before his Father for the grace to drink this cup. There is a cup that he drank. The Lord, the cup of the Lord, we can visibly see it in the account of him going through the Gethsemane agony. In the 18th chapter, I want to read verses 3 through 6 and 10 and 11. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. Look at the response that he had in verse 6. They went forward and fell to the ground when he said those words, I am he. Verse 10, Peter, having a sword, drew it, smote the high priest's servant ear and cut off the ear. And Jesus said unto Peter, Put up thy sword unto the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? I'm thinking this morning of that cup, the cup of the Lord. One translation said it, that last verse like this, Shall I refuse to drink the cup of sorrow, which the Father hath given me to drink? Christ came into this world knowing his end. God had a purpose. Christ had a purpose. He was to give his life and be that supreme sacrifice. But much happened from his birth to his death. Much of that is not recorded, but enough of it is recorded that you and I understand that he had to suffer many things, and he was rejected of men, and he was not the king that they were looking for. The Jews rejected him as their king and chose one that was a prisoner, a criminal, over him. Give us Barabbas, they said. When it came down to the point of releasing one of the prisoners, he was the one that was chosen to go to the cross and suffer the most agonizing and shameful death that there was. And he did it for you and me. And we need to ever keep it present in our minds what Christ did for us. We mustn't come to the place that we just simply take it for granted and we just read it as another story. It must never be another story to us. We need to keep it fresh in our minds and real that Christ died for me, he died for you. And he took the cup, though he asked for it to be removed 3 times. I look at that and I think, if Christ needed to pray 3 times for something, surely it's okay if I do. If I go before the Lord and I ask for something to be removed and I do it more than 3 times, I believe that it is acceptable. If Christ needed to pray 3 times, I must pray as many times or more. I pray this morning that the Lord will help us to be able to deliver the thoughts that we have on our heart. Now I want to go to verse 26 of the Matthew chapter 26 and 27. Just before he went out and was agonizing before the Lord, he was presenting to them something that they could get a hold of later. He told them in one place, Happy you'll be if you will do these things. And you don't know what I'm doing to you right now, but in time you will know. And what those passages were, he said, he took the bread, he broke the bread, he gave it to them, and he said, You eat this. This is my body. Some were offended with him as he preached his gospel, and he tried to tell them, Eat my flesh and drink my blood, for you will have life here. See? And so as he addressed his disciples at this Last Supper, he took this bread, and again he told them, I want you to eat this bread. It's my body. And then he took the cup, and he blessed it, and he gave it to them, it says, in that next verse. And he says, drink ye all of it. One of the other Gospels said, and they drank of it. You and I have been through the ordinance services numerous times down through our life. And we have had it passed to us. We have had the minister say, this represents the body that was broken for you. and we reach out and take a pinch of that, and we put it in our mouth, and we chew it, and then we take the cup, and they always say the same words. They will say, "This represents the blood that Jesus shed for you," and we take a drink of that, and we mustn't take that lightly either. We must understand what we're doing when we partake of the Lord's Supper, and when we take of the bread and the juice, and when we stop and think about the blood that was shed for us, that we might have eternal life, that we might have life here, but we might have life in eternity. And it all was represented by this little scene that we had here, and yet he says, this is a cup. This is a cup in the hand of the Lord. I have a scripture also over in Psalms 75 and 8. This morning, I have simply brought out a few thoughts of the cup of the Lord and what he had to pass through. Just, I have barely touched the surface. And you and I are fully aware that he suffered for you and me. And now this morning, what we want you to think about for you and for myself, I count this as for myself as well as anyone here. But Psalm 75 and 8 reads part of it like this. In the hand of the Lord, there is a cup, and it is full of mixture. I'm thinking of the song that we have sung that says, there is a cross for everyone, and there is a cross for me. We could change that word cross and put cup in there, and it not change the meaning of the song. We could say, there is a cup for everyone, and there is a cup for you, and there is a cup for me, and nobody else has my cup, and nobody else has your cup. Nobody bears your cross like you bear your cross. You have a unique cross. I'm thinking of the scripture that tells us that he is like a potter, and that you are like clay, and I'm like clay in the potter's hand, and how that he takes us, and he shapes us, and he molds us, and he has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. He knows exactly what to do to help you get to heaven. He knows what to put into your life. He knows exactly who you need to marry that will help you make heaven. He knows all of these kind of things that he wants to help us. It's part of your cup. Did you know that your cup can be the making of you or me? What God has allowed in my life? One scripture says that the way of man, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. I don't know how to guide my life. I don't know what I should do in order to make heaven. But he has a plan. He knew you before you were born. The scripture verifies that he knew your name even before you were born. We have that song that, oh, it's been such a meaningful song to me ever since I heard it. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Listen, that was many, many years before I was ever born, before you were ever born. But as he hung on the cross, your name, he knew you. He knew who was going to be born in 1945 for me, whatever year you were born. He knew who you were, and he had a plan for your life. He has a plan for every human being on the face of the earth, and it is only those that subject themselves to his plan that come up and say, okay, Lord, I'll drink this cup. Are we going to be as the Gethsemane agony? Do we have those kind of times that we have to go before the Lord in agony and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done in my life. I'll take this cup. I'll drink what you have for me in my life. That's when the Lord can work with us. And that's his purpose and his desire is to mold us and shape us like the potter and the clay. He wants to shape our lives that it will work for your good. It will be the very thing that will make your life what he wants it to be if you drink of his cup that he has for you. Thank the Lord. Would you want to say, as we read the other translation, shall I refuse to drink the cup of sorrow? Sorrow many times is part of a cup of life. Life is something that beholds every facet of emotion. Every facet of life is right in this cup. See, the cup said it was just full of mixture. There's going to be happy times and there's going to be sad times. There's going to be times of sorrow. There's going to be times of hurts and wounds. But I want to tell you, God knows it all. And he wants to work it for your good. And he wants it to be the very thing that will cause you to be able to walk in his path that he has set for your feet. That path is only for you and only for me. I thank the Lord this morning that he has a path for us. Don't you? What about the cup this morning? Is it too bitter? Is there something bitter in your cup and you're wanting to not drink it? Did you know that's what he understood when he said to these disciples, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When you and I take a drink of our own cup of life, and many times it is bitter and it does hurt, and we want to reject it. And maybe we go before the Lord and we'll say, as Jesus said, please take this cup from me, but not my will. Thy will be done. When you subject yourself to the will of the Father, the graces will be there. Have mercy. 1 Corinthians 10 and 21 is a scripture that lets us know we can't be a straddle the fence. It says in that scripture, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. I cannot take my own way. I cannot make my life be what I want it to be. Let's remember that we can't take our way. I'd like to read a scripture over in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 8 and 9. Speaking of Christ now, though he were a son, or he was the Son of God, yet he learned obedience. Have you had to be taught obedience through the things that you suffered? Have the things that have come into your life helped you to be obedient to the will of the Father? Well, that's what happened by our Father and his Son. It said, by the things which he suffered, and he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. When you and I have these places and we question, Lord, why does this have to happen to me? Why do I have to go through this? If we will come before the Lord and be subject and simply say, not my will, but thy will be done. Another one in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, verse 2. It says, and I'm going to paraphrase this, if you will. It pleased the Father, it says. One over in one scripture, it says, it pleased the Father to bruise him. He suffered the bruising and the wounding and the rejection and the sorrow. He suffered all of those things and he drank his cup. But it said to make him the captain of our salvation, perfect through suffering. Oh, to suffer is not easy. The song says, if we, and the scripture says it too, but we have writers of our hymnal that opens these thoughts up to us. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If I turn my own back on myself, and I accept the cup that he gives me in my life. I said a little bit ago, he knows exactly what to put into our life. He knows who you need to be married to. Your companion is the one that he has chosen to help you make heaven. Have you ever looked at your husband or your wife and said, this is the one that's going to help me make it? That's what he wants. What if it's a difficult place? He still is wanting that to help us make heaven. What if you have some sorrows in your life? What if you have some losses in your life? What if you have all of the rejection of others in your life? If you look at those things and say, Lord, you wanted this to help me. Yeah. I need prayer for my throat this morning. I have something here that I read out of Streams in the Desert. And I would like to read it to you this morning. It says, the present circumstances which presses so hard against you, if surrendered to Christ, is the best shaped tool in the Father's hand to chisel you for eternity. It said, trust him. Do not push away the circumstance, lest the work be marred. Take the cup this morning. We often call salvation a cup. Take the cup of salvation this morning. Don't put the salvation, don't push it away. In the song that we sang of Christ's sacrifice, it seemed as though that song was appealing to those that are lost, that are a sinner. But I want to tell you, you don't have to be a sinner this morning to reject a cup. You reach out and take hold of the cup, just as you would the cup in our ordinance service. Willingly take the cup of salvation and what it represents for you in your life. Drink it all. He said, drink all of it. Don't just take a little sip. You've often heard me say what Sister Catherine would tell me. Every time I go to an ordinance service, I think of Sister Catherine. She always told me, Maxine, don't take a pinch of the bread. Take a good bite of the bread. Pinch it off and know what it represents. When we take a drink, do we just take a sip? When we're taking a sip, let's take a whole drink. Let's take the cup of salvation and say, I embrace all that it has for me, all that Christ has for me in my life. He knows how to direct my steps. I'm not going to push away the tool that is chiseling my life for eternity. It's going to work for my good. I want to tell you, if you submit yourself to the hand of God, when you stand before him at the judgment, you'll be so glad. You'll be so glad that you didn't turn your back on it, that you said, yes, Lord, do to me as you wish. That's what he said to his father. Whatever your will is, do it to me. Did he know he was going to face the whip and the lashes on his back and the crown of thorns and the spitting and the hitting and the rejection? Yes, he knew it. You and I may not know everything that is going to be in our life, but we can trust him. Trust him that what he brings into our life is best for me. It will help me to be that saint of God, to be that child of God, to be that good father, that mother. It'll help me to fill all of the places in life when I subject myself and take that cup and I drink it all and I don't reject it. Lord, help us. Over in Matthew, the 20th chapter, Another scripture that I want to bring here, that Jesus spoke to his disciples. Aren't we just his disciples this morning? Can't we say that he might be saying these things to us? Verse 22, Jesus said unto them, he said, ye know not what ye ask. See, just before this, the mother of some of the disciples had come and said, I want my children to sit next to you in your throne. Oh, what a very important place to be. And she wanted her children, her sons, to have that honor. And Jesus turned and said, you don't know what you ask for. But you know what? Then he turned and he said to the disciples, he said, are you able to drink the cup? Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink? We gave you just a little tiny picture this morning of the cup that he drank. We didn't go into a lot of detail. We're familiar with it. We know the cup that he drank. But he wants to know this morning, can you drink the cup that I drink? And you know what they said? They said, yes, we can drink that cup. Can you say yes this morning and say, yes, I will. I'll drink that cup. I don't know what's in my life. I don't know what's going to happen to me before I leave this world. Don't we often hear that? Oftentimes, we'll hear that from the elderly people. They're coming down to the closing part of their life, and they hear about the golden years. We all hear that, don't we? And they'll say, the golden years, they're just not quite so golden. Because we're facing some things, see, that we didn't expect to face. But oh, let me tell you, if we'll take the cup and not be afraid and willingly say, yes, I can drink that cup. I don't know what's going to happen before I leave this world. You don't know. We don't know what kind of an affliction might come upon our body. But why do we say that? Because we can trust him. We can know that the word of God is true. That he said, I'll not give you more than you're able to bear. But I will, with the temptation, make a way for you to escape. We stand on the word of God, even when we see things coming on us that we don't want. What if that happens to me? What if I lose my sight? What if I lose my hearing? What if I become crippled? What if I become... You can put anything in that and you can still drink the cup. You can still say, yes, Lord, I know that you will take me through. I know you have the grace and the power to take me through to the end. Yes, so how do you pray for your end? I can tell you how we pray. And it's not wrong. You can make your request known unto God. But end it with what your will is. I'll do it. I'll drink the cup. I'll take what you have for me in my life. I won't push away that tool that's chiseling something in my life and preparing me for eternity. I won't do it. I'll accept it. Well, I pray, Lord, help us to take care of ourselves to our last breath. Isn't that a normal request for those that are coming down to the closure of their life? They don't want to be a burden to anyone else. And so they come before the Lord. Lord, help us. Help us to be able to take care of ourselves to our last breath. But what if the cup is that you can't? What do you do then? Do you subject yourself to it or do you push the tool away? I can do something about this. I've got the power in my hands. I can do something about this. Or do you say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Don't push it away. I'm thinking of the scripture. And I want to read several of the verses. They're familiar to us. I think we need to often be reminded of what Paul said when in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. You know where I'm going now with this, but I want to tell you, sometimes it's good for us to read these passages over and over and be reminded that God's grace is sufficient. Paul came here and he had a thorn in the flesh. Do you have a thorn in the flesh this morning? Have you ever experienced a thorn in the flesh? Absolutely. You wouldn't be human if you didn't. Humanity is just simply filled with thorns. I remember my oldest sister, after she got out of high school, she was a telephone operator. And actually, I think at the time, well, she had a boyfriend that really cared for her. And at the time, I think when this happened, she might have already been engaged. And he called her while she was working at the telephone office and begged her to marry him. And she said that a song came to her mind. Your roses may have thorns, but don't forget, your thorns may have some roses too. And she rejected it. Her life had many thorns, and she at one point gave it up and took her own way. But let me tell you, there were still some thorns. When you are taking the way of the Lord, remember the song. Your roses may have thorns, but don't forget, your thorns will have some roses too. If you will look at life in that way and accept both the thorns and the roses. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he wanted to be rid of it, just like you and I would like to be rid of the thorns that come to us in life. We'd like to escape. We pray to escape. He did too. He came before the Lord three times. Lord, deliver me from these thorns. Well, the answer came to him like this, and this is Jesus' words. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Remember the scripture about the flesh and the spirit? Spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. Recognize your weakness this morning. Recognize that you need grace for your weakness this morning. Recognize and believe that His strength is made perfect in your weakness. I've used that scripture before. To even have the courage to stand before the people, because I am weak. But His strength is made perfect. His strength this morning can be made perfect in your weaknesses. This is how He enables us. And you can take the cup and drink it and believe it. And look at the rest of this. For Paul got a hold of something. And you and I can get a hold of something this morning too. When you take the cup, you can say it too. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. What's our infirmities this morning? I want to tell you, just to be a human being of the earth, there are infirmities. There are troubles. There are sorrows. There are grief. There are disappointments. It is part of life. The whole Bible is full of admonition on how to handle life itself. And over there in Job, it plainly told us that man was born of a woman in but a few days and full of trouble. So trouble is just part of life. I don't want to sound like I'm so negative this morning. But I want to tell you, the Lord can help us through every one of our infirmities. And he said here, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon you, upon me. I want to tell you, when you experience the power of Christ in your infirmities, there's no blessing any greater than that. It just simply does something to you. Someone was telling me just yesterday, they were saying how that they just, when they know that they're doing the will of the Lord, that they're just almost high. Have you ever felt high in the Lord? When you know He has come in and He has given you power and He's given you grace to endure what cup you're drinking at that moment. There's something about it that just, I can't even describe it, but it makes you feel high. And he went on and he said this, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Do we take pleasure this morning in the things that come our way, or are we still trying to get out of it? Lord, get me out of this place. Take pleasure in it. Look for the good in it. Look for the hand of God in it. Look where He enables you. Look where He blesses you. Look where He gives you the power to overcome. Do you have a testimony then? I love the testimonies. I love it when someone is able to get up and say, the Lord helped me in this place. Did you know that's your victory? Did you know that that's how you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, that's where your victory is. And it prepares you for the next battle. The scripture talks about us going from strength to strength. That's like going from battle to battle, from victory to victory. Paul said, I take pleasure in it. And then he says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I didn't bring my streams in the desert this morning, but I wanted to read one of the statements that were given in there, and I can only remember this part from it. And this part where it says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. It said that the original translation of this was this: I am dynamite. Do you ever feel like dynamite? Dynamite is powerful. When I'm weak, when I take pleasure in these places and I've said, Lord, I'll not push away the cup. I'll not push away that tool that's chiseling me. And I have submitted myself. The power of God makes you dynamite. If you want to read that one, actually I'm going to give you four different ones out of Streams in the Desert that's on this particular passage. It'll be good for you to read them in your devotions. That one is April the 8th. So if you want to also read some others, February the 26th, August the 5th, and November the 15th. All of four of those are devotions concerning this passage. And it will be good for you to read them. This morning, Christ had a cup, and he wanted to be free of it. When you and I want to be free of our cup, remember he wanted it too. He sought his Father three times. If that cup could be passed away, don't make me go through this. But he always said, not my will, but thy will be done. And then the word of the Lord says, in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and it's full of mixture. You and I have cups this morning that is full of all kinds of things in life. And yet we come down to the end of this message and we say, my grace is sufficient for thee. If you have some thorns in your life this morning, His grace is sufficient.
That's right.
If you're not ready to meet the Lord this morning, take the cup of salvation. Don't push that cup away, because that's really where life is.
Yes.
Pray for me.